Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody out there is having a great Tuesday, despite how dreary it is in the Music City today. But should be a fun show. We got Nick Frazier in for his usual Tuesday appearance.
Tony Tuesdays.
I don't know how we got to that, but
I think because everybody in my family's named Tony.
I was gonna say, but like Lorenzo's your middle name, right?
Right. So. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. Tony Tuesdays for now.
I like it. Tony Tuesdays, even though your name's not Tony and, you know, nothing to do with it. We got plenty to get to on the show today. Lots of Titans talk. What is there to hope for with the Titans? I asked that question. We'll get into that later on. Also, some big news in college basketball. Big weekend of college football ahead. We'll get to all of it. But Monday Night Football last night lived up to the hype. Lions and Ravens. Lions get the win on the road. Derrick Henry, three straight weeks with a fumble now. And he still looks great. He had the early touchdown run. But a fumble in the clutch twice in three games, and the Ravens now fall to 1-2.
Yikes. It makes you wonder what is the future going to hold for Baltimore? Are they going to figure this out, or is this going to be a continuous thing for them? Because, I mean, they're showing Derrick Henry right now on the television. I don't want to say he looks defeated, but definitely distraught.
He was very frustrated after that fumble. He kind of flailed onto the bench a little bit. Like, you could tell how much that hurt him to fumble in that moment. Because, again, he did the exact same thing against the Bills in week one, and it cost them the game. This one, they were losing at the time, but it really kind of put the game away. The Lions, Dan Campbell, showing it again. Pull out the wheelbarrow for Dan Campbell because, he fourth down late in the game, chance to give the Ravens good field position with a chance to go tie it, and instead he gets the first down. David Montgomery scores a couple plays later, and boom, Lions get the victory. They're 2-1.
I've realized about the Lions so far this season that David Montgomery, people need to give him a little more respect in the backfield. Like, he's not just your goal line punching in the end zone. He had a great run last night for, what, 40, 50 yards?
70
yards. 70, is that what it was? I mean, I think teams are starting to hone in on how Jahmyr Gibbs plays out of the backfield. I mean, he's that more lighter back. He didn't have that much muscle on him, so he can't go ground and pound through, you know, the offensive line, kind of, you know, bounce him out to the outside. But I just think David Montgomery is one of those underrated backs that needs a little more appreciation.
I agree. That is a good two-headed monster they have back there. And I know Gibbs gets most of the headlines because he's the big fantasy back and he makes the big plays out of the backfield. I picked him to be my offensive player of the year this year. And he's gotten off to a good start. Maybe not that quite to that level. But I like Jahmyr Gibbs. But yeah, David Montgomery, he's been doing it for a while now and doing it at a high level. So yeah, shout out Monty, I believe is what they call him up there in Detroit.
I think Detroit's figuring it out too, offensively.
I agree. I think it took them a week with Ben Johnson moving on, new system. You got to get used to the new play caller. But the last 2 weeks, they've looked really good. Like, just boat raced the Chicago Bears in week two. And then last night, you go into a really tough environment at night to face a Super Bowl contender, and you win in pretty significant fashion. I understand it was kind of a garbage touchdown at the end to go win it, but or to extend that lead. But this Lions team looks like they can compete at the top of the NFC again. Packers took a step back this week with that loss to the Browns, but I think you can firmly put the Lions back in that top tier conversation with the Packers, the Eagles. And I know the Rams blew a 19-point lead over the weekend, but the Rams, I think, would still be in that conversation too.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if it was this show or maybe the weekend show that I mentioned about Jared Goff. I pick him over any other quarterback in the NFC. I'm sticking to that, by the way. Jared Goff, for me, is my quarterback of the NFC.
Really?
This guy can lead you to a Super Bowl.
I like Jared Goff, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before. I went on a Detroit sports talk show last year when the Lions played the Titans. They just asked somebody to come on and preview it. And I was like, actually, our old friend Trent Valley, who worked here, he's a producer on the show, and he asked me to come on. Anyway, we had a conversation about, he's like, what are your thoughts externally about Jared Goff as someone not from Detroit? And I was like, he's a guy who can if you put the right pieces around him, he can be a really good player, and he can get you in the NFC. He can get you to where you want to go, but he's not an MVP-level player. And the host was, like, super offended, was like, how can you say Jared Goff's not an MVP-level player? And I realized they believe in Jared Goff in Detroit like Nashville used to believe in Ryan Tannehill. It's like you'd see all the graphics of here are Ryan Tannehill's stats against Patrick Mahomes' stats over the last 20 games, and Titans fans would be like, Ryan Tannehill's the best quarterback in football. That's how Detroit feels about Jared Goff. I mean, they do the Jared Goff chants at all of their sporting events. It doesn't matter if it's Lions, Tigers, Red Wings, Pistons. So I agree with you. I do like Jared Goff, but I think it is one of those things where it's like the national narrative about him will never actually match the narrative of the people who watch him every week.
Yeah, that local aspect.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like as Titans fans watched Ryan Tannehill play every week, and from when he took over in 2019 to the Bengals game in 2021, like, you could argue he was one of the better quarterbacks in football, statistically, the way he played. But the national narrative after what happened in Miami was always going to be that, oh, he's just a game manager type of guy.
Yeah, he's just going to get you a certain amount of wins and call it a day type thing.
Yeah. I do like Jared Goff. And in the NFC, I've said it before, the AFC is the quarterback conference. The NFC is the roster conference. And I think if you can put the right roster around Jared Goff, he could get you to the Super Bowl. I mean, they were up three scores against the 49ers a couple years ago with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So we'll see what works out in the NFC. In the AFC, Ravens 1-2, Chiefs 1-2. They play next week. That is a huge game for playoff positioning. I think both those teams end up making the playoffs, but if you're the Chiefs and you fall to 1-3, or you're the Ravens and you fall to 1-3, things start, the battle becomes a lot more steep to get back to where you want to be at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I'd give the edge to Baltimore right now, even though they've had the yips with Derrick Henry fumbling the ball, but I'd still give them the upper edge against Kansas City, primarily because Kansas City beat the Giants on Sunday Night Football. I wouldn't count that as a win that proved to me that
right.
they and can figure it out.
They didn't look all that impressive either. Like they pulled away down the stretch, but like it was 6-6 late in the second quarter or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The Chiefs don't look great to me right now.
Yeah, and the Chiefs too. And I'm a run first type guy. Their run game isn't good. Like they can't figure things out with Pacheco. They're not getting much on the ball with that. And nonetheless, when you can't establish a good run game, your passing game can't be good either.
So, right.
Like with Baltimore, they have a good run game, and they established that early last night with Derrick Henry. Nonetheless, it didn't get them the win, but they're still looking off talent-wise, they have the better talent right now showing on the field.
Yeah, and that'll be a big game next week. Ravens and Chiefs, again, one of those teams going to be 1-3. I think the Bills might run away with the one seed in the AFC with what we've seen so far. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brandon in Hermitage on the text line says, Jake, please tell me you have an MLB segment coming up today. I don't. There's no MLB on the grid. We talked MLB yesterday, but I will take these 2 minutes at the end of this segment to say I have my Tiger sweatshirt on here. They have completely thrown away what was a great first 3.5 months of the season. You have a chance to get it all back in these next 3 days and win the division. It starts tonight. Tarek Skubal on the mound. You have to win this game. If they lose tonight, I'm giving up. It's over. I mean, at that point, Cleveland will have clinched the tiebreaker. It would be even in the division, and Tarek Skubal's not pitching again. So, win tonight, Tigers. Beat the Guardians. That's all I have to say on it today.
I'm praying for you.
It's been so frustrating for the last 2 weeks. To go from 9.5 games up to one game up in 12 days is absolutely insane. So that's all I have to say on it today. Just win. Just win, baby. Tarek Skubal needs to go out there and prove why he's the Cy Young and get the Tigers some cushion back in the division. That is all the baseball talk for today. We will spend most of the rest of the show on football. The Titans. Brian Callahan spoke yesterday after another disappointing loss on Sunday against the Colts. And I have one question. Where is the hope for the Titans? And we're going to spend most of the show on that question today. We're going to start with the coaching. We're going to look ahead at what might happen in the future. And then we'll get to the roster with the Titans. Because good teams sell results, bad teams sell hope. Right now, I don't know what there is to hope for with the Titans outside of the quarterback in Cam Ward. We will talk about all of that coming up. Also, big news in college basketball yesterday and a huge night in college football on Saturday. Also, I didn't put it on the grid, but we will talk Mississippi State, Tennessee today. We've got our resident Bulldogs fan, Nick Frazier, our resident Vol, Parker Kelly.
I'll leave it up to the audience if they want to see Frazier and I fight on the live stream. We can throw on the boxing gloves.
Yeah, I think maybe we need a pay-per-view here between Nick Frazier and Parker Kelly. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll talk Titans coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025. That was Brian Callahan yesterday. I thought a really good question by TD, because that's the elephant in the room. Lots of boos yesterday. Sunday. Booed Burke Nyhill, booed the ownership group during the Mike Keith ceremony. What was Brian Callahan going to say there? I mean, I was very interested to know what his thoughts were on a message to the fans. And really, I mean, I didn't hate the answer, but it's like, yeah, obviously you got to go win a football game, but you're 3-17 as a head coach.
Yeah, it's primarily just compartmentalizing the schedule at this point. I mean, if I'm a head coach, that's what I'm doing week in and week out. Just like this 3-game road trip, I even mentioned this before the season began, you have to compartmentalize that 3-game road trip into how do we effectively get certain outcomes here, an outcome in the third or second game of that road trip, and then the third game, like, we need certain guys healthy for these type of matchups.
Yep.
I think if you're Brian Callahan, you have to do stuff like that, and I'm pretty sure he is, but he mentioned in that same comment that we're going to do everything we can to turn this around, meaning, yep, like, you know, if one guy's playing terrible, dish off from him. Like, you don't have to use him. Like, there was something else in that press conference talking about Calvin Ridley and saying, you know, we're not going to deviate away from Calvin. Like, he's going to have to prove that he's still a good wide receiver. For me, if you're going to do everything at all costs to win a football game and he's not making catches, bye-bye. Find somebody else. I know Joe and I've kind of been on the same train.
I was about to say, are you getting on the strep?
Yeah, catch a strep, baby. It's a sickness you want to have, really. Like, that's a guy that has a lot to prove. And meaning a lot to prove, he'll go in the middle of the field and catch a football. If it's a hospital ball from Cam Ward, he'll go catch it. I don't think Calvin Ridley, and Joe's made a great point, I think Calvin Ridley is afraid to catch a ball over the middle. I really do. And I don't want to, you know, transition this into a Calvin Ridley hate segment, but like, that's kind of one of the primary reasons why the Titans are not moving the ball that well, is because half the targets going to Calvin Ridley are drops. And if you're Brian Callahan, you're thinking, there's nothing else I can do. If I'm calling the right calls and it is an open pass and he drops it, what else do I do as a head coach?
Yeah, we went through it yesterday of 38%, I think, is the completion percentage when Cam Ward has targeted Calvin Ridley this year. Hasn't been good enough. I don't know if I'm fully on catching the strep yet. I don't know if he's the answer, but
there's a cool breeze in the air, Jake. You might be catching the strep. You never know.
Maybe, but I don't know if we're there yet. I think if you're going to insert young players into the lineup, like, I mean, Bryce Oliver's hurt right now. Hopefully he's back, but I'd like to see it be more Oliver, DK, Aya Manor than bringing strep off the practice squad. But I think at some point this season, you probably do get to that point if you're 1-8, and it's like, you know what, why not just see what Xavier Restrepo can do? I don't think we're there yet.
If they bring up Restrepo, I think it's for the Patriots game. I think that alleviates some of the boos, really.
Yeah.
I do. I think if Cam Ward completes his first pass to Xavier Restrepo against the Patriots, not looking too far into the future, I think a lot of that crowd changes from boos to cheers pretty quick.
Yeah. So. No, I agree. I don't know if I'm quite on the Xavier Restrepo train yet.
Brian Callahan has the worst record as a head coach in his tenure. Like, what else is there to hope for? You mentioned hope at the beginning of this segment. There is no hope for this team.
Yep.
Like, the only thing I mentioned was compartmentalizing the schedule. After that, there's nothing.
I mean, you have hope with the quarterback. That is the one thing, is that you hope the quarterback becomes a franchise guy who can compete at the highest levels. But you have to be able to put a team around him. You have to have a coach who can maximize his potential. And you mentioned Brian Callahan has the worst record, minimum 20 games. I did not think that was a real stat. Like, I saw the graphic, and I kind of just thought it was fake. It was somebody making something up. But no, it is true. He has minimum 20 games. He has the worst winning percentage in NFL history among head coaches. And I know there, Paul Kaharsky put out yesterday that there are other coaches who have had worse or the same 20 game start as Brian Callahan, but they all had the opportunity to get better, and they got their winning percentage up above 15%, where Brian Callahan sits right now. It has not been good, and I agree with what Brian Callahan saying is, like, you win one game and maybe these things start to go away. Maybe you can start to get it in the right direction. But based on what we've seen, what confidence do you have that they are going to win one game?
I mean, you're going up against Arizona that's now missing James Conner.
We got Houston first.
I know. I'm just saying in that three-game stretch.
Right.
Like, I'm already see Houston beating the Titans. Like, I'm already past that.
Well, it is funny. Houston is 0-3. And they are a touchdown favorite over the Titans. Like, I don't know if that's ever happened before, that a winless team has had a touchdown spread over another team. Because, I mean, that's how bad the Titans have been.
Look, I know people out there probably think Houston's a bad ball club because they're 0-3. I don't think so. I think it's been a lot of C.J. Stroud's decision-making that's really cost them for the most part. I don't know what's going on with C.J. Stroud because he's kind of fallen off a cliff a little bit. But they got Woody Marks in the backfield. They got Nick Chubb, Nico Collins. They got all these good players. They're moving the ball a little bit. It's just they're not putting it all together yet. And I think it's just something with the decision-making from C.J. Stroud right now. And if he can figure that out, I think they'll be back on track. Are they a playoff team? I don't know because they're 0-3 now. But I still think they're light years ahead of the Titans.
Texans have scored the least points in the league this year. But, again, right, you look at the team on paper and say, who do you think is going to figure this out? Probably Houston.
Yeah.
And the Titans, if you get to 0-4 and you lose to Houston, which is, I know I heard Chase and Big Joe talking about this yesterday, that Houston is, that is a team that you're not supposed to lose to if you're the Tennessee Titans. Like, you do not lose to the Houston Texans. I start to wonder if maybe that could be it. But honestly, after what we've heard, I read through the article from Easton Freeze from yesterday talking about what happened in the in the tunnel coming out of the locker room at halftime, and Amy Adams Strunk hearing the boos and the yells and all the calls for Brian Callahan to be fired. I'm a little surprised that she didn't pull the trigger this week. Like, I know it's early. I know it's only three games in, but she has been known to have a quick trigger. And it is Tuesday. Brian Callahan spoke yesterday. He hasn't been fired. But I don't know. Can he get past a loss to the hated Houston Texans? I'm not so sure.
I don't think so. And, again, I think Amy Adams Strunk is saying thank goodness they're on a three-game away trip because I don't know if I can face the heat of this anymore. And meaning she's going to be able to kind of brush this under the rug a little bit because they're not at home. She's not going to have to listen to the boos going into a home stadium for three games.
Well, it's in her home.
Yeah, but I don't know if she'll be at that game. If she's at that game, then hey, good for her. Maybe she's that dedicated of an owner. I don't know. But I wouldn't see her at NRG Stadium.
I think she's going to be there. I mean, she lives in Houston. That's all we talk about is that she's never in Nashville. She's in Houston.
So she might be at her local beauty salon. I don't know.
There we go.
Yeah, okay. She might just be hanging out with her friends. I don't know.
Teron Davenport, thank you to Trevor for sending this into the text line. TD tweeted last night, the Titans and Texans are both 0-3 entering week four. Texans are 7-point favorites. A winless team was a 7-point favorite in week four or later only twice before in the Super Bowl era. Both were in week four, 1994 and 1996. The Oilers were, an 8.5-point favorite over the Bengals and won by 7. The Saints were a 7.5-point favorite on the Cardinals, and the Cardinals won by 14. So neither time has the team that's been a 7-plus point favorite as a winless team in week four or later actually covered the spread. So maybe good news for the Titans on Sunday.
Nah.
No, you don't think so?
Nah, not happening. No, ain't happening. I'm not to the point where I'm being negative and pessimistic that the Titans are bad. It's just this team roster-wise is so top-heavy with, like, starters that the depth is not there. If they don't have the depth, like, you can't really put together a good product. That's the issue that I'm having to cope with, is Tavondre Sweat's not out there. Jarvis Brownlee's not out there. Legarius Sneed is somewhat out there. He's people have, you know, mixed emotions about him.
Yep.
Getting there. Amani Hooker, he's been kind of beat on a few balls lately in the last couple of weeks.
Right. They just extended him.
Yeah.
Not that he's played bad, but, like, he had a pick six in his fingertips against Denver and dropped it. And he missed a tackle late in that game against the Broncos that almost cost them a chance to come back and tie the game. So, right, it's like the guys that you're expecting to be your, maybe not stars, but your top-level players haven't really been performing to that level.
Yeah, and then you look to the offensive side of the ball. Again, J.C. Latham has been injured with that hip.
Yep.
We don't know what's going on with that.
We don't know when he's coming back.
And you have Dan Moore Jr. on the left side that, bless his heart. I don't know if his does he have a hand issue, a feet issue? Like, is it a mental issue? Does he need glasses? I mean, this guy's letting defensive edge rushers go past him like they're just checking the slip when you leave Sam's Club. You know, like, hey, what'd you buy there? Oh, check it off. That's what he's doing on the offensive line.
Walmart grader.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. I mean, Joe's mentioned it, but seriously, you have to look at this team as a whole and say, yeah, these starters, it's not it.
Well, so that brings me to a question that I had. And I'm genuinely asking this because I'm not 100% sure of the answer. Mm-hmm. We know this roster hasn't been good since Brian Callahan's been here. But is it 3-17 bad? Like, that's what I don't know, but I lean towards no, that this roster with some of the players they have on there should have won more than three games. And I do feel like at times the coach might be holding them back.
Yeah, I think that may be the case. I was listening to George Plaster last week, and they had on Terry McCormick, and he was asked the question of, Terry, do you think this team is the worst it's ever been? He goes, I've seen worse. I think
I've seen worse rosters for sure.
Yeah, he said, if you look at the Wiz and Hunt days, that team is worse than this, and I'd have to agree to that. So looking at this roster on paper, Jake, you're right. This team should be getting more wins. As for the production on the field, it's still question marks all over.
You look at the 2015 Titans roster and their offense. Marcus Mariota was a rookie, so similar to Cam Ward. Antonio Andrews, Harry Douglas, Anthony Fasano, Craig Stevens, you did have Delanie Walker,
mm-hmm.
Taylor Lewan, Quentin Spain, Andy Gallick, Chance Warmack, Byron Bell. That was your offense. I would say, and maybe this is recency bias, but I would say if you lined that offense up and the Titans' current offense, at least talent-wise, I'd take the Titans' current offense. The defense may be a little bit different because you still had some veteran guys there. You had Jarrell Casey, you had Derek Morgan, you had Wesley Woodyard, Brian Arakpo, Michael Griffin was still on that team. Mm-hmm. So maybe you'd take the Titans' defense over this one, but the offense, for sure, in terms of playmakers and the offensive line, the Titans' offense should be better than it is right now. But right now, they're putting up about the same kind of production as that 2015 team was.
Yeah, and I think one small thing currently with this Titans team that you need to look forward to, and for me as somebody to watch them as well, you got to stop with the field goals. I know that's been the whole thing at halftime, whatever. I was listening to, I think it was John Gruden and Greg Olsen. They were on that Wake Up Barstool show or whatever.
Right.
And they were talking, and all of a sudden, Greg Olsen goes, if you're the Rams, you can't go kick the football six or nine times in a football game because that's not going to win you a game.
Yeah.
You're just throwing away possessions. I think the same thing with the Titans. You're throwing away possessions. If it's 4th and 5, just go for it. You have nothing else to lose this season. Like, treat it like it's a Madden video game. Just go for it. It doesn't matter.
Well, and that's like at the end of the first half, you ran 5 straight run plays. When you had the time, you had the time to go out and try and put a drive together. You're down 11 at this point. See if you can go put the ball in the end zone. Does 17-9 really make you feel all that good, especially when the Colts are getting the ball after the half? Like, you could be down 15 by the time you touch the ball next. Go. First off, don't run the ball 5 straight times in a 2-minute drill. Second, you got 4th and 1. I would say go for it over the 57-yard field goal, but that's just my opinion. And then don't take a delay a game. That does
That's
help. A big part, too.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Callahan also said something very interesting in his press conference yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. Next man up, 1025 The Game. That was Brian Callahan yesterday. Asked about possibly giving up play calling, and that's the first time he hasn't said no So maybe that's something in the cards over the next couple of weeks. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Now, see, I understand why he would do it, right? Like, I understand why he might give up play calling, because a lot of the decision-making that you need from your head coach, your CEO of the team, has fallen through the cracks. Like, that's the issue with Brian Callahan right now. Nobody's talking about the play calling as much, even though that's been an issue too. It's more the details of managing a game as a head coach. So I understand why you would do it, but you hired Brian Callahan to be your play caller and the guy to run your offense. What is the point of keeping him around if he's not going to do that anymore?
That's a great point. Look, Brian Callahan, after listening to that clip from me, he's listening to too many people. Like, when it comes to play calling, and I don't know if, and later in that press conference too, PK was asking, like, well, why did you not do this? Why did you not have this ready, like the kicking ball ready, whatever.
Right.
I just wasn't ready. Stuff right. Like that. Like, to me, he's, and we talked about this before the season, he needs to delegate some of his job responsibilities to other coaches. But if you're not delegating those in the right manner and you have too much on your plate and you can't call plays and you can't be a head coach, then what's the point of calling plays?
Yeah, I mean, we talked ad nauseum about how Brian Callahan tied himself into knots about the Elik Iemanner catch in week one against Denver.
Right.
He was a mess yesterday. Parker, do we have the clip of Callahan going through his end-of-half sequence from yesterday?
Give me 1 second to find it.
Okay.
But yes, we do.
It is – I was listening to it yesterday, and I'm just like, he's doing everything he can to not just say I botched it, but like that's basically what he's saying. It's like, well, you talk about Paul Kaharsky, like, why didn't you have it ready? And it's like, well, I was still making a decision. It's like, what conversations were you having? We're going to keep those internal. It's like it's a mess, and you could there's kind of a, I don't want to say deer in the headlights look, like that's not right, but it's just like, you can tell, like, he's just tired of having to answer for these things. But, I mean, the easy solution to that is obviously just be better at it.
Yeah. It, again, when he says keep everything in-house, to me, and I'm just putting the puzzle pieces together. So if it's too out there, just stop me. When Nick Holtz came on with Chase McJoe, I just listened to that. It's in my brain engraved. Yeah, you know, I just have a better vantage point, and I see things better from up top, and I let Brian know certain things. To me, if you're talking to Nick Holtz up in the booth and y'all are going back and forth, like y'all are just talking about what are you having for dinner or stuff like that, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Brian Callahan, this answer, I was just kind of laughing to myself hearing it yesterday. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say when he was asked about the sequence at the end of the first half. That was Brian Callahan yesterday, and TDU following up there, I thought that was a good follow-up. Like, what message does that send to your team that you don't know, you can't make a decision in that moment? And I don't know where you go from here, because this is now three straight weeks where he's kind of botched the end of first half sequence. Like, the Rams game, it worked out. But you could tell that he had a little PTSD from going for it inside his own 10, and it ended up costing him points in Denver. So he got conservative against the Rams and got three. I think he tried to do that again and still ended up messing it up because he couldn't get out of his own way again.
Yeah. NFL becomes, I don't know, I don't want to say it's predictable, but, you know, NFL coaches, they tend to get in a repetition routine of like, all right, we have a two-minute drive. Try at least get 3 points out of this. If that's Callahan's thing, dog, you got to move on from that. You really do. You get what I'm saying, though?
I get why he's – I think he realized that he got too aggressive in Denver, so he wanted to be – you know, he didn't want to hurt the team. So he's like, I'm going to play it conservative. We're not going to take points off the board. But he ended up doing it anyway. And that's – it can't happen. It cannot happen if you're the head coach. Again, 2 out of 3 weeks now, we've been talking about the head coach just botching a game management decision that with how long he's been around NFL football and the amount of people that he has on his staff who should be advising him, these things just can't be happening.
If Brian Callahan, just in a fantasy land scenario, if he were to give up play calling, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. What coach would you prefer to be calling plays? You think Bo Hardigree, because he's the closest to Cam Ward?
I guess. Like, I don't know what Nick Holes does, so it's like, I don't know. I think it's probably Holes if they do make a change, but I don't know if I'd feel much better about it. The only thing that would make you feel better is that at least Brian Callahan can focus on just making the right decisions when it comes to going forward on fourth down, challenging, all that kind of stuff that comes with being a head coach. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim has been waiting patiently. Tim, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show. One of you said something a minute ago about they hired him to be the play caller. He never called plays in his life.
Oh, yeah.
So why do they think he's going to come in and be a play caller if you've never done it?
Well,
he also doesn't know the rules.
Yes, and that's a big problem. He came from the LaFleur and McVay and Shanahan tree, and you had seen guys who hadn't been play callers in the past move into head coaching roles as a play caller and have success. Kevin O'Connell is an example of that with the Vikings. He was not a play caller with the Rams. He stepped in, and look at what he does now. He's considered one of the best offensive minds in football. The Titans tried to do that with Brian Callahan. That was the point of bringing him in, was to be the offensive guru at the time to develop Will Levis, now to develop Cam Ward. And it's a, if you're taking the play calling out of his hands, then why not bring in a guy who's a better leader of men to be your head coach if that's all he's going to be?
Yeah, do it. Bring in another guy.
Like, that's my thought process is, like, you brought in Brian Callahan because of his skill as an offensive mind, at least that's what you thought. You didn't bring him in because he's such a good CEO, leader, Mike Vrabel-esque type of guy who's going to get everybody to play as hard as they possibly can for him. If you're not going to have Brian Callahan call plays, go get somebody like that because you need to be able to do one of them, right?
Look, Brian Callahan is the Dollar General version of Kevin O'Connell. Simple as that.
But right, it's tough when you bring in a guy to be the offensive guru and your offense sucks. And that's what it has. It's been really, really bad for 20 games. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland is on the line. Adam, thanks for calling. What you got for us this morning?
Hey, man. So, yeah, here's the thing. So, if he were to separate from Daddy Callahan, like if you were to put Daddy Callahan in a booth and put Holtz in a booth and just let him – I mean, I don't know. You guys know how I feel about him. I've been wanting him fired since before it was cool. So I was one of the first that was like, this dude doesn't do anything. So, but I'm not going to just continue to stand on that. I'm saying if you were to separate him from Daddy, because he did say when they first started, he was like, we collab, the three of us collab on every decision, which is insane because you don't have enough time for that. Like, what if you were to just separate them, get them away from him and try something like that? Would that be an option? Like, you're going to end up beating Houston and we're going to be stuck with him. That's what's going to happen. Crying Callahan will come back. He'll end up crying in the press conference saying, oh, we needed it. Like, so we're going to be stuck with him. But if you're going to be stuck with him, why not get him away from Daddy and let him make the decisions?
Are we just putting Nick Holes and Bill Callahan in solitary confinement during these games? It's like, hey, you're not allowed to speak to Brian Callahan during this. As soon as that clock starts running, we're turning your headset off. You cannot talk to Brian. Is that what we're doing?
the way Adam says Daddy Callahan just has me cracking up.
I do like it.
It's like he's dropping him off at daycare or something.
Daddy Callahan.
Yeah. I think there's a chance the Titans win this weekend, but it doesn't change anything. Brian Callahan is I will put it out there that Brian Callahan is not going to be the head coach week one of next year. And I know there are Titans fans out there who want him gone now. And I would probably be with you that I feel like it's better to just rip the Band-Aid off and you know, maybe Cam Ward going to have to develop under Bo Hardigree and Nick Holtz only, but I don't know if Brian Callahan's really helping his development all that much. He may be. I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. But is there really a big difference between firing him in week five and at the end of the year? Like,
yes.
What is that difference?
That difference is if there are other teams that end up winning and the Titans have the worst record, then you can fire him.
Yeah.
Then you can build new chemistry with Cam Ward and whoever else wants to develop.
Right. I don't know exactly what the difference is between firing him now. Like, is 12 weeks of Mike McCoy or Bones Fossil leading this team going to really help them in the long run?
Maybe.
I mean, I get it.
Culture-wise.
As soon as he loses the locker room, like, that's when he'd have to go. Like, if you can tell that he's lost the locker room, you gotta pull the plug. But they're going to have a new head coach next year. At this point, it's just a matter of when they make the move. Like, I don't see any way for Brian Callahan to save his job.
And look, if Callahan stays the whole season, in my personal opinion, I think it's kind of hurting Cam Ward a little bit in his development. Because, look, you have a head coach at this point that's lost the locker room, that knows he's a dead man walking.
I don't know if I say he's lost the locker room yet.
I'm in the camp where he might be.
The Pittman quote was interesting on Sunday, but I also agree with Brian Callahan and what he said about that yesterday. He was asked about it. It's like, when you win, you get to control the narrative. So he can say whatever he wants. We didn't win, so there's not much we can really say.
That's fair. I mean, I'm just in the camp of it. This team doesn't look like they want to play football. Simple as that. Like,
yeah.
Cam Ward even looked sluggish yesterday. I mean, I keep thinking today's Monday.
I know.
Sunday, like, that whole interception to Kenny Moore, it was what, the first play of the game, second play
third
of the game?
Third play of the game.
Like, that's bad. Like, I get rookies will make mistakes, but when you have a head coach, and again, I'm going to this narrative, if he has lost the locker room, he's, like we've said before, dead man walking. This guy is kind of knows his time is up for the most part. If you're checked out up here mentally, what does that do for the youngster that's trying to make a name for himself in the NFL? He's going to have to go to his old habits of being from when he was at Miami or Incarnate Word or whatever and learn from what he's made in the past and make a name for himself, because apparently nobody on that coaching staff wants to help him out in some degree,
yeah,
if that is the case.
Brian Callahan's not going to be the head coach next year. If you ask me what I would do, I would say pull the plug. But like, I get that at this point, there's not a huge difference between what you do now. It's not like you can bring in Joe Brady from the Bills right now to be your head coach. Like, you have to wait to hire your head coach till the end of the season anyway. So we'll see. I think there are a couple of inflection points where he could get fired. This week is one. If Amy really hates losing to Houston that much, obviously the Patriots game with Vrabel, and then the bye week. I think those are the three spots where they could pull the plug. And we'll see. If he gets past the bye week and he's still here, he's staying to the end of the season. There's no point in keeping him. 615-737-1025. Went a little long there. We will take a quick break. Wrap up hour number one after this. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, Next Man Up, 102.5. Wrapping up hour number one here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. We'll continue to talk Titans throughout the show. Going to get into some possible head coaching candidates. I know it's early. It's only September, but, you know, we are where we are at this point. Also, talk about the roster a little bit, because I just don't see a whole lot of young pieces in this core. But because we have a short segment here, I have an idea. Three men here. Parker's married. So I'm sure Parker has spent plenty of time in a store that I will not name. No free advertisements.
More time than I care to comment on.
A store that usually it's sometimes two stores that are connected. One sells furniture, one sells clothes on the other side. So most people out there, I think, know what I'm talking about. I had to spend a lot of time in one of those this weekend as I was moving, and I had an idea. You've got one side with the furniture, one side with the clothes. Right in the middle, put a sports bar. That would make everybody happier, right? Like, the wives and girlfriends wouldn't have to have us walking around with them complaining the entire time. And we would be excited to go. It's like, hey, do you want to go to the furniture store? Hell yeah, I do. I'll go get a beer and watch a game. Like, and guess what? I can still be there to help you carry. Like, if you buy a chair or something, I can help you carry it out. Like, I just had this idea walking around this store this weekend. You know, moving. We're picking out, bedding. We're picking out trash cans. We're picking out rugs. I'm like, man, just find me a spot. I'll go sit, pour me a beer, and I'll come meet you when you're done. Thoughts?
I think it's not a bad idea.
I'm putting this out there. If somebody wants to make this happen, whether it's existing or if you just make a new store, put it out there.
There is a
free of charge.
There is a local supermarket that actually has a service bar in it. Again, no shout outs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
And the fact that there are people that go on Friday afternoons, I don't think there are any TVs, but they'll just go sit, have a drink, maybe a glass of wine, whatever. It's a little odd when you're shopping, you see somebody sitting at a bar and they're just drinking away. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm here to get chips. What's going on here? But I get the concept.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of this.
Well, it was funny. When I was in Blacksburg for the Virginia Tech Vandy game a couple weeks ago, we went into a grocery store at like 10:30 in the morning, picking up stuff for the tailgate and all that kind of stuff. And I walk in. They have a bar in there. And there is a group of people tailgating at a grocery store bar drinking IPAs at 10:30 in the morning. I was like, you know what? The European mind cannot comprehend this right now. But that, just put it out there. If there's somebody out there who has the money or the power to make this happen, this is a free idea. This is Shark Tank. I'm putting it out there to the world. We want furniture, clothing stores to have sports bars in them now. It would make everybody happier. That's my TED Talk. Thanks for coming.
I'd be asking my wife to go to the grocery store.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I would be
like,
doing.
Is like every time it's like, Jake, we need to go pick out some new furniture or new candles. It's like, would you want to come? No. But guess what? There's a sports bar there. I'm in. Anyway, thanks for coming to my TED Talk. That was a thought I had over the weekend, and I thought I should share it because guess what? It's never going to happen if we don't put it out into the atmosphere. So if anybody out there has some money, has some power, if they own one of these stores, there you go. Free idea for you right there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will get back to the Titans coming up next. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if Brian Callahan is fired, where do you want the Titans to go? Maybe not specific coaches, but an archetype of a head coach. And we'll talk about some of those coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, hour number two, and next man up, coming up here on 102.